The following podcast contains explicit language.
Thinking everything is everything. You get to get yourself a little deal, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get on. You're going to get rich. So sometimes people got to come out and speak up and let people understand that, you know, you got to read the label. You got to read the label. If you don't read the label, you might get poisoned.
You're listening to the Noise Pop Podcast, brought to you by KQED.org. My name is Dawson Ledwig, and this is the record label episode. It's part love letter to our favorite indie labels and part exploration of what labels are, why they're important, and how they've changed recently. Right now, we're listening to a track by Jizza called Labels, which is a very clever rant and really name-drop session of all the big labels of the 90s.
Niggas be tame, thinking that they lyrical surgeons. They know they mics are foam the virgin. And if you ain't boom the mic, you couldn't hurt a beat. That's like going to Venus, driving the Mercury. The capital of this rugged slang is Wu-Tang. With the unpredictable talent, natural game. I'm death throwing them, see what Mike cables. The epic is out of Rush associated labels. From East West to Echo, I bring it to a next plateau. But I keep it fat though. Yo, I'm hitting batters up with the wild pitch style. I even showing uptown MC.
Before we get started on this episode, I need to introduce our guests, Jimmy Nabrinsky and Jesse Fox. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So this is Jesse's last episode, as we announced in the last podcast. He's moving to New York. Boo. Yeah. But you will be working for us via satellite. You'll be sending in interviews that you do with bands. So it's not the last that we're going to be seeing of you. Just unfortunately the last of you sitting in my living room.
Yes. Though they never got to see me, the audience. They only heard me.
That's true. So if you're dying to know what Jesse Fox looks like, Google image search him. But we are also joined with a newbie or a freshman to the Noise Pop podcast, Olivia LaRoche. Hey, Olivia.
Hey, Dawson.
So Olivia works with us at Noise Pop, and she loves music as much as we do. I dare say she's a nerd. I don't know if she appreciates that, but it's true.
Wow. Ouch. No, I'm a nerd. It's fine.
And she has a charming personality, as you heard just a little bit of. And
as
we'll
do you, Dawson.
We'll dispense those in doses.
Small
that's a no.
Doses.
That's enough.
Okay. Sorry. I'm done.
But all kidding aside, let's get started. Let's do a palate cleanser and start with a perfectly thematic song. This is Major Label Debut from Broken Social Scene off of their self-titled record released on Arts and Crafts. So that was Broken Social Scene with the song Major Label Debut, and that is a great segue into the sort of the groundwork that we need to lay for this episode. What is a major label and what is an indie label? Obviously, we're going to be focusing on indies, but what are they exactly?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a tough question. There are thousands of indie labels out there, and they probably all operate somewhat differently, but I mean, I would say that an indie label is basically anything that's not one of the big four.
The big four being?
Like the big four major labels, Sony, EMI, Warner, and Universal. Yeah, so anything that's operating independently of those four, I would call indie.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually found a quote that I think is relevant. According to the Association of Independent Music, if a major owns 50% or less of the total shares in your label, you're an indie.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you have a majority of control over the big four, you're technically an indie label.
And that makes a lot of sense. Like, if it comes down to the boardroom and, like, we need to make a decision, and the indie labels have 51% and the major labels have 49%, the indies win. So,
right.
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
Thanks for explaining how percentages work.
And that's how percentages
work. Well, this is one number, and we'll compare it to a smaller number. The bigger number is bigger.
It's like an episode of Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay, Jesse, you cannot leave soon enough. But let's get back to majors versus indies. One of the big distinctions is the sound. Majors tend to focus on commercial success and therefore lean towards the big pop artist.
But you do have exceptions. There are some indie artists who are signed to major labels.
Right.
Like
Yeah Yeah Yeahs
and Death Cab for Cutie, and also TV on the Radio.
So TV on the Radio actually is signed to Interscope Records, which is part of Universal Music Group. They just released an album 2 months ago, Nine Types of Life.
Right, so let's maybe stop here and listen to their single Will Do, which is actually turning into a candidate for one of my favorite songs of the year.
It might be impractical to seek out a new romance. We won't know the actual if we never take the chance. I'd like to collapse with you and ease you against this song. I think we're compatible, I see that you think I'm wrong. But anytime will do, my love. Time will do. No choice of words will break me from this rule. Anytime will do, my love. Anytime will do. What choice of words will take me back to you? Oh, your love makes a fool of you. You can't seem to understand. Doesn't play by rules and love has its own demands. But I'll be there to take care of you if ever you should decide that you don't want to waste your life in the middle of a lovesick lullaby. But anytime will do, my love. Anytime will do. No choice of words will break me from this. Choices, words will take me back to you.
That was TV on the Radio with Will Do, an indie band, quote-unquote, on a major label. So let's now move to an indie label that started off under the umbrella of a major label system, parted ways, and yet still remains one of the most important labels today. I'm talking about Vice Records, which has been home to some of the most ridiculous albums in the last 7 years, I guess. Death from Above, 1979, Justice, Chromeo, Block Party, the list goes on. Vice Records is a part of the Vice Media Group that started with the Famous magazine 17 years ago. I got on the phone with
Jamie Farkas, the general manager of Vice Music.
And I asked her about how the label got its start.
The label started about 8 years ago, and it was a pretty natural progression. I mean, music has always been, you know, a lifeblood throughout this company, and it's something that's really built into the DNA of Vice through every division. So it felt very natural to us to have a label. And it all started with a small band that you might know called The Streets.
The war's over, the bells ring, memories fading, soldiers slaying, looks like geezers raving.
So Vice was tipped off to Mike Skinner and The Streets in the UK, and they knew the people who were releasing it overseas. And yet, to their surprise,
we were fairly astounded to find out it did not have a home in America. So they came to us and said, well, why don't you be the home in America? Which is actually how our conversations with Atlantic started. So when the label first started, we were a direct subsidiary of Atlantic.
Right, and as I understand it, you guys gradually sought more and more independence from Atlantic until finally, years later,
we decided that we wanted to continue label, but as an independent company.
And so you guys have been ever since. It's so weird to think that you guys were ever a part of the major label system. Just the Vice aesthetic seems to scream indie. So Sonia, obviously the Streets were a big artist that defined Vice early on. However, is there another artist that it might be a flagship act for you guys?
I would be remiss to not mention the Black Lips, who they just put out a new record last week, which was a huge stepping stone for them and for us, just in terms of having them work with a producer, you know, who happens to be Mark Ronson, and, you know, just taking everything to a new level.
Perfect. So let's listen to their single, New Direction. This is The Black Lips. So one of the big questions that we're asking on this episode is, are labels important? Like, what do they do for artists? And actually, I mean, what do they do?
So I think the most important thing that a label does for an artist is produce their record. Whether it's in-house or outsourced, they have it recorded. And then when that's finished, you know, they market it, they distribute it, and they, you know, make sure that it's publicized.
Right. But I mean, traditionally, like, the most important thing, the most defining thing of a label is that they
produce
pay,
it.
Right. They pay for the production of it.
Yeah.
So let's play an example of
a song that was on a record label at some point.
Yeah, a song that was on a a song that was produced by a record label.
Which,
oh, there's so many options here.
All right.
Well, we'll pick a seminal indie. I think we need to pick Sub Pop, personally.
Okay, and I think that a really good example of a band that's been plucked from the hype machine is
Washed Out. Yeah, right on.
Definitely.
Cool, and they have a new single, which was paid for in production by Sub Pop. Mm-hmm. There you go, Jesse. That's what we chose. We'll be right back.
So that was Washed Out with Eyes Be Closed, which is just a simple example of an artist recording a song for an album for its record label, which is Sub Pop in this example. But now that technology to record albums is so much cheaper and really accessible, a lot of artists are recording the albums themselves and then maybe even trying to self-release, but eventually the albums make their way to the bigger indie labels. Forever Forever Go by Bon Iver is probably one of the more popular examples. He just recorded that by himself in a cabin, and he thought he was just going to release it himself, and then
Jag Jaguar picked it up.
Yeah. Or when I spoke to Peter of the Antlers, he said they were going to release Hopsis by themselves, realized the work was just kind of too much.
Right, and that went to French Kiss.
Yeah, so yeah. What is happening is the production element is less important. It's more kind of this marketing infrastructure that the label is able to offer.
Yeah, and actually another great example of this is one of my favorite bands, the San Francisco group Nods, who recorded their sophomore album Innings and released it on Woodsis after the fact. So let's listen to a track from them. This is Nods with the song Hey Day Past, Hey Day Do. That was Nods with Hey Day Past, Hey Day Do, and that was an example of an artist who had recorded their album prior to signing to a label. And that really begs the question, then, do artists actually need labels in this day and age? It's a big one. I mean, are labels still relevant?
Well, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. What a label does, it's marketing, publicity, promotion. Not only production, all of those post-production elements are very important.
Yeah, but mostly I think it's about branding.
Branding, probably number one.
Right. You know, actually, I spoke with Mona Dagan about this from Domino Records, and this is what she said.
I think that people just feel like they're not being heard properly unless they do have some sort of, like, a name backing them, I guess. Like, they think that, like, you know, which I think to some extent is true. I think mm-hmm. that we are pretty lucky that if I send an email to Pitchfork, they're probably going to listen to whatever I send them. Whereas if I were just like a rando, like random person just emailing on my own, they're so busy, I can imagine that it could fall through the cracks. But I think if they're dependent on us for content, for a lot of other things, for some of our bigger bands, they'll give our smaller bands a chance that maybe other small bands without a label wouldn't get.
I think Mona makes a really good point, but there are some artists who are really thinking seriously about going at it alone. If they have kind of their own savviness and their management kind of has the infrastructure to do a lot of things, it seems like an interesting solution to have complete control.
Right. But that's a lot of work. I mean, labels are teams and teams of people and separate departments all geared towards one release. And a band really should be focused on their own artwork. I'm not saying that a band can't self-release, but...
Well, an example of a band who did think they kind of had all the pieces in place was Mr. Dream, who...
self-released?
Yeah, in March, their debut album, Trash Hit.
Cool.
So let's listen to their latest single, Croquet, and see if it sounds self-released.
That was Mr. Dream with Croquet, an example of a band who has foregone the label route and self-released. And so we've already touched on how the internet has allowed artists to avoid the label route if they wanted to, as long as they have an infrastructure and know-how to go at it alone. But the internet has changed things for labels significantly also, specifically money. I spoke with Paul Hanley of French Kiss, home of the Dodos, Antlers, La Savie Fave, Local Natives, etc. And this is what he said about this new challenge.
It's changed dramatically that, you know, because of piracy and losing sales, that we're looking towards different means of making money. I mean, there's you know, monetizing videos now, and certain bands that didn't want to do licensing before are really open to that now. And that's, you know, even for independent labels, that's a huge stream of revenue is licensing your songs to ads and TV and film, and that's a bigger part of an indie label now.
Right. I remember a few years back when Band of Horses licensed one of their songs to Walmart, and people were completely up in arms about it. And similarly, like Of Montreal, they licensed one of their songs to Outback to turn into a jingle. And it's funny, back then the backlash was huge, and yet it seems to have quieted recently. I'm not sure if I feel like people now realize that artists aren't making the money they used to, and licensing is still a reliable form of income. So, Paul, I'm going to switch gears on you really quick. French Kiss has an amazing artist roster from all the bands I mentioned before, La Savie Fave, Dodos, Suckers. It's an amazing lineup. However, it seems inevitable that labels would encounter unsigned bands that, you know, they kind of kick themselves after not signing them, like the Ones That Got Away story. Do you guys have any of those?
Do you have all day? You know what? Every label particularly in indie labels, have a story or band that they were just like, oh, why didn't I sign that? Ones that ring true to my head right now are Best Coast, Deer Hunter. I think a lot of labels passed on Vampire Weekend initially. We were one of them.
You know, what's funny is you're the second person to have told me that about Vampire Weekend during all these interviews.
Yeah, that happens. For every band that I just mentioned, you know, we did end up getting signed Passion Pit and the Dodos and Antlers and Local Natives. So it worked out. You know, maybe if we signed one of those other bands, we wouldn't have been able to get them. So it's a good trade-off.
Absolutely. That's a good way to look at it. So right now, let's go ahead and play an upcoming French Kiss release. Actually, Paul informed me that this will be French Kiss's 50th release. So congratulations to them. This is Cut Off Your Hands with You Should Do Better off of their upcoming album, Hollow. That was Cut Off Your Hands with You Should Do Better. And moving on, I've always been curious about how these labels find these big next new acts. More often than not, they seem to catch these bands right at the cusp of their break. And there has to be a lot of work involved with how they discover this. I spoke with Tyler Stover of Lefty Records, home of How to Dress Well and Neon Indian, and I was struck with their discipline for finding new bands.
Yeah, basically, throughout the day, we're scouring blogs and Bandcamp, just looking at what are new posts to it and kind of scouring through there. And when we find a band we like, we'll reach out to them, see what's going on with them, and if there's some way that we could work with them. But we try to dedicate at least a couple hours a day to doing that without any other distractions and just kind of keeping our ear to the ground.
And to drive this point home, we'll go back to Mona Dagan, again from Domino, who shared a similar style about how they approach their A&R.
Like, I think it kind of happens everywhere. It's like from some people will kind of take note of a buzz that's happening. Like, we have a new A&R guy in the London office named Jack Shankly that's, like, just known for being, like, a really adamant kind of, like, involved blogger in the music industry. And they just brought him in because he really knows music and he has really good taste.
So if you're in a band and looking to get signed by a label, the takeaway from this is to have an online presence because they are looking... They're definitely looking out there. But of course, artist discovery also comes down to good old-fashioned luck. And just sometimes serendipity is the way it goes. Mona told me this really cool story about a recent signing.
Well, I won't say the names of the bands, but I will say one of our recent signings that has done pretty well for us was actually from our A&R guy trying to see another band. And he thought it was them and then realized that it was the opener for the band that he had gone to see, and he ended up signing them instead.
That's got to be awkward, I'm sure. So let's go out with a Domino artist. And it needs to be pointed out, this is not the artist Mona was just talking about now. This is Twin Sister with the song Bad Street off of their upcoming LP, In Heaven. So now comes the portion in our podcast where we go around the table and recommend musical conversation pieces. And since we're talking about labels, let's go ahead and limit this to what are your favorite indie labels? Jamie, hit it up.
All right, let's talk about Ghostly International.
Yeah, who's artists we've actually been listening to throughout this podcast underneath of our conversations.
Right, Calm Trues, Gold Panda, School of Seven Bells, Fantagram, Tycho. There's a whole list of artists that you'll probably recognize because they're not necessarily what the label is traditionally about, which is underground electronic music. But what they've managed to do is market and promote mainstream electronic music. And I think it's, you know, especially something to note if you know me, I don't go out to clubs or raves very often, but I do really respect this label, and I can call Matthew Deer, which is their flagship artist, one of my very favorite musicians of all time.
Cool. So do you want to listen to anything specific from them?
Yeah. Let's listen to You Put a Smell on Me.
By?
Matthew Deer.
Cool.
For my year about town, I'm actually going to pick Fat Possum. If I was going to pick a label just on just their roster, their current roster, I probably would have picked 4AD just because of Tune Yards and the National, St. Vincent, etc. But the story of Fat Possum is just so interesting to me. I first heard of them as just a blues label, which is what they were for the majority of what they started. They had R.L. Burnside, Junior Kimbrough. They released, when Salmon Burke made a comeback, they released that. And then they kind of crossed over a little bit with the Black Keys, and then from that they just slowly moved into like an indie label where they now have the Walkman and Yuck. So I just really admire that, and just for me, because I really love blues music, to see people be able to expand what their brand is just really cool to me.
Right, and it's a nice little microcosm of rock and roll.
Yeah,
started off in blues, and next thing you know, you're in
Yuck.
Right, next thing you know, you're Yuck.
So let's listen to a little bit of Junior Kimbrough. We'll play Work Me Baby, which is kind of just a perfect example of this kind of really raw John Lee Hooker style repetitive blues, which the Black Keys actually ended up covering on their Junior Kimbrough tribute album, also released on Fat Possum.
So for my very first year about town, I'm taking everybody back to London, year 1993.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Britpop rules the British music scene, but there's one guy named Lawrence Bell, and he starts to stir things up by putting out the UK release of Sebadoh's EP, Rocking the Forest. And for the next 10 years, Bell puts out some great records by Elliott Smith, Pavement, others. But for whatever reason, it just doesn't take. And I heard, I'm not sure, that he had to take out a second mortgage. And things weren't looking good for this label until one fateful day in 2003 when a certain song hit the airwaves. So Franz Ferdinand, Take Me Out, and the rest is history for my favorite label, which is Domino Records. And since then, they've become one of the most influential and important indie labels, and they've put out countless
ridiculous
fantastic,
right?
Yeah, I mean, Animal Collective, Forte, The Kills, Dirty Projectors, I mean, you name it, they're really on the forefront of the indie music scene. And my favorite artist right now with Domino, I think she has a lot of potential. Her name's Anna Calvi. She's got self-titled album out right now, and my favorite track is called Blackout.
Something coming as I'm running down the hall. Oh, this darkness is coming through my soul. Should I fear you or should I just let go?
Excellent choices, guys. So my Ear About Town is the indie label collective The Beggars Group, which is probably cheating a little bit because it's actually four labels under one roof. That's 4AD, XL, Rough Trade, and Matador. It's one of the most mind-blowing collections of artists out there. It's The National, Vampire Weekend, Blonde Redhead, Toon Yards, Twin Shadows, Gang Gang Dance. It's mind-blowing. And I actually had a chance to talk to their publicist, Sonia Colerat, and she clued me into an awesome new artist on The Beggars Group.
At the end of June, we have an artist called Subtract, and he's like this DJ producer, and he's got a record coming out, and it's really interesting. It has sort of like this weird collective he has. He's London-based, and he has these amazing singers on it. This guy, Sampha. And it's just really, it's really catchy pop in a way. It's kind of crazy. It's not the kind of thing I normally listen to, but I love it.
This is Subtract featuring Sampha with the song Living Like I Do. And in case you're wondering, Subtract is spelled with a K and without any vowels.
Got sucked into a culture, living like you do. Spend by the hour, living like you do. Can't make ends meet, living like you do. This life will turn you sober, living like I do. The tension builds, as the tension builds, as the tension builds, as the tension builds, as the tension builds.
So after all this, we are done. That is the Noise Pop Podcast. We want to thank all of you guys for listening. And of course, we want to thank our very important, very busy interviewees who set aside time to talk to us. That's Sonia Colerat from Beggars, Mona Dagan from Domino, Tyler Stover from Lefsey, Paul Hanley from French Kiss, Jamie Farkas from Vice, Talia Elitzer from Mr. Dream. And of course, thanks to Jamie Nabrinsky for her production help, Olivia LaRoche for her guest spot. And last but not least, a very sincere and a very enormous enormous thank you to Jesse Fox. Thank you, sir. We will miss you terribly. If you want to follow Jesse's Twitter, which I highly recommend, he's one of my favorite tweeters. His handle is at FoxConSox. That's FoxConSox. We're going to go out with our guest caller, Ear About Town. If you'd like to leave a message for the next episode and we will play it on air, go ahead and call 585-4NOISE5. That's 585-466-4735. Leave any musical conversation piece, whether it's a song, an article you read, we'll play it on air. Thank you guys for listening. My name is Dawson Ledwig, and we will see you in a couple weeks.
Hi, this is Jim from Aurora, Illinois. I want to leave a Ear About Town shout out, give some Midwest love to Polyvinyl Records, home of great bands like Aloha, Someone Still Loves You, Boris Yeltsin, Japandroids, and Of Montreal. Thank you.
Festival, discussing story of the eye.